Before we begin today's calendar, I would note that Justice Pickering is the assigned presiding justice for this, but because of the difficulty with a remote arrangement here from the RJC where you see Justice Pickering, Justice Pickering and I are going to share the duties up here of presiding. But this morning I get to begin, and if everyone is ready to proceed, we will begin with the case of State Department of Health and Human Services versus the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, case number 64474. Are the parties ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
Very well.
May it please the Court, my name is Linda Anderson. I'm appearing on behalf of the Aging and Disability Services Division. We come before you today on a case that involves the interpretation of NRS 427A.7. Under the rules of statutory construction, we submit that the statute is not ambiguous and clearly requires the surcharge set by the Public Utilities Commission to fund centers for persons who are deaf or otherwise hard of hearing. The Nevada legislature in Chapter 427A, in its legislative intent, clearly recognizes the duty of the state to provide services to persons who are deaf or hard of hearing, and has, as long as resources are available. During this time period, the legislature has continually approved the budget submitted by my client, Aging and Disability Services Division, to provide those services through a contract for with the centers. In looking at over the years, at some point there have been general funds available, but the legislature in most recent times has used the surcharge as the basis to do that. We submit that even if the Public Utilities Commission believes that they can change their position and find their prior decisions were wrong, we ask you to look at how the legislature has responded to what they have done. The legislature has not made any changes in the law, has continued to approve the budget as we have submitted, providing for full services, including advocacy and other issues that need to be provided to the community in order to affect effective communication. We understand that the Public Utilities Commission is very concerned about the surcharge rate. They want to make sure that it's fair to their ratepayers. But we believe the legislature is the one who ultimately determines where that funding source should be. And if the Public Utilities Commission believes that should change, the legislature is the proper forum for that change to be effected. When they decided to put the funding of the centers under this surcharge, they did not include a laundry list of all the services to be provided. I suggest that that would be difficult to do because they want to be able to respond to the community as the community needs are described.
Can I ask you one question? As the petition for judicial review progressed, was there a memorandum of points and authorities presented that was required by 703, NRS 703-3736-7? That becomes a jurisdictional issue for us, and the record wasn't clear on that.
I apologize for the record because we provided the complete record, but yes, the memorandum and points and authorities were provided in response to the district court so the district court could make that decision. Any other questions?
I have a question. And I apologize for the difficulties of video. In reading these papers and looking at this statute, the question occurred to me whether or not the legislature could task the PSC with imposing and monitoring surcharges on various telephones for other purposes as well. For example, say that the legislature determined that children in school should all have cell phones, so they're going to put a surcharge on everyone else who has phones to pay for that. And then they say, in addition, it should help with the education of the children. Would it then be fair to interpret the PSC's authority to impose that, in essence, a tax on all the ratepayers for funding something quite divorced from the services that the PSC is charged with regulating? Do you follow my question?
I do, and fortunately, I don't have to defend the legislatures on that issue if they decided to make that determination. I can say, though, Your Honor, that this particular issue we see as much more related than saying, let's just use this as a source to tax to pay for schools. We believe that the funding of the centers for the persons who are deaf or hard of hearing is an integral part of making sure that effective communication, as was described, if a person gets a device, a free device through this program, as was rendered, they've got to be able to have the community understand that how the relay system works so that they're not hung up on, because that equipment won't help them at all if individuals are not able to use it effectively. So we believe this is all related, and that's why the legislature found this was an appropriate place to have the funding come from. What is being proposed by the PUC would really be kind of a bifurcation that may actually end up costing more, because we already track everything that the centers do, but if we had to track what costs related specifically to equipment versus what costs relate to advocacy or helping people use that equipment in an effective way or other ways of communication, we would spend a lot more time trying to divvy up between the two. So I can't speak exactly to whether this is a correct decision by the legislature. I'm just suggesting to you that that's the decision the legislature has made up until this point.
Is there any other place in the legislature's funding where they're using services that the PSC regulates for rates to fund social programs that you know of?
Not that I know of, Your Honor. I believe they felt that this would best connect, because, you know, the 3 cents on your phone bill.
But it's communication. I take your point on that. So it's not as extreme as my example.
No. Fortunately, that's not the case I'm bringing for you today.
Thank you.
If this court were to find that language was vague, and like I said, we believe that it just says fund the centers in its entirety, when you look at the legislative history, I think you do have a clear set that the legislature, like for instance the comments by Senator Raggio, that Justice Pickering, they take that responsibility very seriously, that they want the fund only being used for proper purposes. We're just suggesting to you that in approving the budgets that aging has submitted to them, they have found that that fund is being used for an appropriate service in providing the services to the community as a whole. And we reiterate that we don't believe that these services are just limited to persons who are deaf or hard of hearing, but actually impact all of us in our ability to communicate with all the individuals in our community.
So your position is quite simply that it is for the legislature to decide if the budget, your budget, should be altered in some way and not the commission's?
When you look at the statutory construction, Your Honor, under 427A, that's what it appears to us to clearly say. It gives the Public Utility Commission two duties. One, to approve the program, which has to do with the equipment. That's exactly where their expertise lies. That's what they do. And the other is to set a rate. And there's some argument that perhaps the legislator could have set the rate and kept it there. But I think they were trying to be cognizant to make sure that the rates were going to be appropriate and done in a way that would, you know, protect the ratepayers from an over-surcharge as the needs changed within the community. However, they never gave, we believe, the PUC the ability to decide what to do about these type of other programs, how the center should work in its entirety. That they placed on the Aging and Disability Services Division. We are the ones that have to come to the legislature and demonstrate to them that it's being used appropriately and effectively, and they continue to review that. When the PUC being asked, they really struggled with, throughout this process to understand, and as you will hear, I'm sure, in their argument, they don't disagree the services should be provided, but it seems unfair to ask the PUC to look at those issues and determine what's appropriate. The legislature, the public forum that it's in, is a much better place for the community to come in and make sure those needs are being met. Then the Public Utilities Commission has that obligation to make sure the surcharge is appropriate to meet those needs and that the program for equipment is being done appropriately.
Can you tell me the advocacy services that the centers provide?
The advocacy centers is, you know, what it has become is a much more effective way than spreading out over all the services within the state. We have a place where folks can go who are deaf or hard of hearing, who not only can get their equipment, but they can get other issues resolved when they have issues within the community. A bigger outreach is really a primary goal, though, is to make sure the community is aware of how to communicate with those persons who are deaf and hard of hearing. So they provide those type of trainings, making sure that people have access to the courts, to schools, to employment opportunities. So the community as a whole benefits from the services that the center provides.
I have a question, another question, on the language in 427A 797 subparagraph 2, the last sentence, it has a little arrow before it. Do you have the statute in front of you? Rather than me read it out loud, the part about the commission shall establish by regulation the amount to be charged and collect the surcharge from customers. What are they to look at under your theory that it's up to the legislature to determine the appropriateness of the expenditures, then wouldn't the commission just be tasked with saying, okay, you need $100,000, so we need to put on a surcharge that is appropriate to generate that much money? Is that your reading of that? That it's just simply a mathematical application of the budget that the legislature approves?
That is part of it, Your Honor, that they would look at the mathematical formula. However, the statute also requires them to approve the program. So they take a much more intensive look at what you find in subsection 1, which is the program concerning the equipment, the relay system, and those pieces which would be in the expertise of the PUC. So in approving the budget, they take a very long and hard look, and that's what the legislature wanted. The legislature also set gave them the duty of setting the charge. But you will notice in subsection 2, cover the cost of the program, that provides subsection 1. But listed out separately are funding the centers and then covering the costs of my client. Those costs of the client and the centers we submit are within the legislature's realm, and determining the costs of the program and whether they're appropriate would be the PUC to decide.
There's no statutory restriction on what the centers can do, is there?
Is there a restriction? I'm sorry.
Is there a statutory restriction on what the centers can do?
There's not a statutory restriction, and I think, frankly, Your Honor, that would be difficult to set those kind of parameters in statute, because you want to be able to make sure you're meeting the needs of the community. And if those needs are not there, you're not spending money on it. The process we believe the legislature is using is reviewing the budgets. So the division still has to come forward, establish to the legislature what those needs are, how they're going to be addressed through the centers, and in improving our budget, they are looking to make sure that those are being done. And Senator Raggio, in the comments that are quoted, seemed to clearly say that he felt that was the legislature's duty to make sure the funds are being used in that regard.
What other sorts of funds does your department have for these centers?
At this time, none.
And historically?
Until the legislature, we had, I believe, and I say that we, this was done by a prior agency, the Office of Disability Services. I believe there at some point were some general funds that were being used for services. Over time, though, the legislature moved away from using those general funds, no longer allocated them, and relied on the surcharge to make sure these
services. What about grant funding?
When you apply for grant funding, and my client and the centers themselves apply for grants, however, grants are usually very specific. The grants want you to perform what functions they do. We are always looking for grant opportunities so we can enhance services to our community, but they wouldn't pay for the utilities or the basic services that the centers provide.
Thank you.
And I believe I'm out of time for now, so I will.
And because we have eaten through what might have otherwise been your rebuttal time, I will add 2 minutes to your time and as well 2 minutes to the PSC's time so that we can be fair in distribution of our time. Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Mr. Weir.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Garrett Weir, and I'm representing the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada.
And my first question is, why the shift in the way you guys want to have been doing business from where you used to be to now that gives rise to this debate?
Great question, Your Honor. First, the prior approvals, the last 9 years prior to this particular case, each of those approvals occurred in the context of stipulated agreements amongst the parties litigating before the commission. So in those cases, the commission deferred, I guess, to the judgment of the parties in reaching a reasonable resolution. And the issue actually was never litigated before the commission or ever ruled on specifically by the commission as to whether there was authority or whether there was authority to disallow those costs. The reason that this was brought to the commission's attention most recently by staff, why they contested those expenses in this particular case, is because of the recent expansion in both the overall budget of the centers and the portion of the center's budget that's dedicated to non-telecommunication-related services.
Such as?
The brief and underlying order outlines a list of services. If you'd like, I can outline.
Just some of them that were of particular concern to the PSC.
Classes about domestic violence, camps for children, poker nights, game nights, various activities, work.
Gingerbread house making?
Gingerbread house making. I mean, there's a list, I believe, on the third page in a footnote.
And these are all particularly new to this request, this budget request?
Relatively recent, yes. Okay. Some of them might have been included in prior years, but the percentage of the center's budget dedicated to these types of services has expanded tremendously in recent years. So getting, I guess, back to just the simple point of this case is that this is a state agency that is doing its job based on the authority granted to it to not allow a very narrowly tailored and limited in scope of use tax and not allowing it to be used as an alternative funding source for services and activities that previously were funded through the state's general fund and no longer receiving that funding. The commission just doesn't think that this is the appropriate mechanism to fund those things. And the commission hasn't weighed in on whether it believes that those activities and services are beneficial or not. It's just that this isn't the appropriate mechanism to fund them. Utility customers shouldn't be bearing the exclusive cost of those services when they're unrelated.
What do you say to the statutory argument that your opposing counsel makes that 427A 797.1 describes the program and its contents quite specifically, then subparagraph 2 talks about the surcharge, and that the surcharge shall be sufficient to cover the cost of the program, that would be the stuff outlined in paragraph 1, and then 2, fund the centers for persons who are deaf or hard of hearing operated by this state, and 3, the cost of operation. Paragraph 2, the centers aren't covered by paragraph 1, and I think her argument is that the amount needed for the centers thus is divorced from the detailed analysis by the Public Utilities Commission. That's a fair reading of that statute. Tell me why it's wrong.
It's wrong because, well, first, the entire body of subsection 797 is appears underneath the heading of the program. It's that all of the language there applies to the program. In fact, the title of that section is Program to Provide Devices for Telecommunication to Persons with Impaired Speech or Hearing. If the centers or if that surcharge was supposed to fund something unrelated to the program, it would appear somewhere else. The centers are part of the program, at least to the extent that their activities are funded via the surcharge. Now, the commission views the surcharge as importantly related to the program itself because the surcharge is what funds the program. Reasonableness of the costs of the program are what go to the reasonableness of the surcharge. So, you know, subsection 2 also outlines all of the other purposes, you know, the specific things, providing relay services, distributing equipment, those types of services, which are actually performed by the centers. Those, though they don't appear within the language that authorizes the commission to review the program, they are essential components of the program. And the commission believes that the centers themselves, again, to the extent they're funded by the surcharge, are a component of the program. I mean, they're the biggest implementer of the program, so to view them as unrelated is sort of absurd.
So the division should divide its funding sources according to the programs that it offers? Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, how they organize, you know, the commission wouldn't have any recommendations there, but the centers were created for the sole purpose of carrying out this program. You know, the funding historically, the initial services they provided, it's all of those things that are listed alongside of the centers as allowable uses of the surcharge. Those are the things that the centers initially did almost in its entirety. It's only recently that they've expanded those services beyond the items explicitly listed in subsection 2. So I suppose that's why the commission believes that the interpretation of the centers being unrelated to the program is inaccurate.
Could you comment on the probably poor hypothetical about schools and cell phones that I was posing your opponent. Is there an outer limit on, in your estimation, on what surcharges imposed on ratepayers can appropriately be applied to? Is there a point at which they're so divorced from sort of the tax, if you will, the surcharge, that they really fall outside the pale?
Correct, Your Honor. You earlier suggested that maybe your example was more extreme than this case. I'll actually argue that it's not. Here, there is absolutely no limit, other than the fact that the legislature conceivably would review it, although, as the brief outlines, the legislature delegated that review responsibility to the commission because the commission has particular expertise with regard to telecommunication and rate making. But no, there isn't a limit. In fact, I mean, the commission here, counsel for the appellant mentioned things such as utility services or other things. I mean, there could potentially be items that aren't TDD equipment exactly that would still be covered under the commission's order. The commission merely disapproved the services that aren't related to the provision of telecommunication devices to the deaf. So, you know, if there's a nexus there, you know, that they can format their application accordingly and show that and justify those expenses. But the idea...
Go to the generic term, the program, the centers. I mean, isn't that where all of that drops in?
Can you clarify, Your Honor?
I'm sorry, that was a poor question. I guess what I'm saying is that it seems to me that the statute is written in such a way that, yes, telecommunication is obviously part one, perhaps even a heavily weighted part one with respect to the PUC looking at telecommunication devices, et cetera. But because the way the statute reads, it talks about the program, the center. Doesn't that necessarily allow them to use these funds in a way that benefits best benefits the center, even if it is somewhat divorced from the direct relay of services in terms of telecommunication?
Historically, the legislature has been pretty clear about its desire to limit the use of these funds. And though the commission believes that on its face that the statute is clear, actually the support that it provided in the case of ambiguity was just additional support of legislative history. But the legislative history supports the idea that they've intended to limit the use of the funding. So if it doesn't...
Where do you see that limitation, given the words that I pointed out, the center, the program?
To fund the center, I guess the fact that the commission is tasked with approving, not just approving, but approving or disapproving based on the commission's interpretation of the statute that was codified in regulation as well. The commission has the authority to approve or disapprove the program, and then the cost of that program, of which the centers are a component. Once the commission has gone through and approved or disapproved that budget, then the surcharge comes into play. So I would say that it's the commission's, the legislature's delegation of authority to the commission to review the program and either approve or disapprove its components, of which the centers are a part. Once that occurs, then the commission can say, yeah, we're not allowing those costs, and we're not going to, therefore, allow recovery of those costs through the surcharge.
So you strongly disagree with the appellant's position that the legislation in this case was leaving that determination, frankly, unto themselves?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I believe that quite clearly this extensive review was delegated to the commission because the commission is better equipped, frankly, to review these things. The commission has an open, thorough vetting that takes place where experts are able to weigh in as to the reasonableness of these costs. The commission regularly examines the reasonableness of costs that are put into rates and paid by utility customers. This isn't something that the legislature would look at lightly. I mean, it's utility rates are essentially, to the extent that costs are added by the legislature, it is a tax, and it's something that the commission takes seriously and wants to prudently review.
And is it, you're also arguing in essence that when you get beyond the tie to the services, the communication services, that you are beyond your institutional competence, and therefore it couldn't have been the contemplation of the legislature that you would sit in judgment over the propriety of a social services program unrelated to communications?
Correct, Your Honor. The commission does have the competence to be able to tell what is or isn't related to telecommunication, obviously. But beyond that, the commission isn't the proper forum for evaluating that. That's why those types of general services and general activities historically have been funded through general means, the state general fund. That's a debate, a discussion that needs to take place or at the legislature or elsewhere. It's not really the commission's opinion one way or the other. And also, you asked the question earlier as to whether similar social services have been funded by the commission or social programs. There is a program, the Universal Energy Charge, through which the commission essentially taxes electricity customers to pay for a social service. But again, it is related to lowering the cost of electricity for low-income customers. So it's not something divorced entirely from the type of service that the commission regulates.
Is that the only other program such as this?
As far as I'm aware, it's the only type of program that applies to social services. So just to clarify some of the legislative history, there was a reference to Senator DiRaggio's comments, which the commission believes actually reinforce its view. He clarified that he wants to ensure that the funding is used for an appropriate purpose. We believe that my client believes that the commission was delegated the responsibility of making sure that funding is used for an appropriate purpose. And also, actually, at the same time that Senator DiRaggio expressed that concern, There was an amendment proposed by Senator Rawson. This was March 24th, 2003. And that particular amendment actually did memorialize the types of services of a general nature that Appellant is wanting to include in the center's budget. And the legislature considered that proposal, and it rejected it. So, again, that was kind of, I think, history supporting the limited scope of use of this surcharge. Just, again, hitting on the in addition to the duty to review and approve or either disapprove the program, I want to stress again the importance of setting a surcharge rate that is just and reasonable. Of all the duties that the Commission is tasked with, setting just and reasonable rates is an overarching one that this Court has even highlighted on several occasions. And it's outlined in several places in statute, one of which is NRS 704.040. And here the Commission, again, found that a surcharge funding costs that it considers to be unjust and unreasonable, specifically because it would be unjust and unreasonable for telecommunication companies and the customers of those companies to bear that exclusive cost of providing these social services of a general nature. So the Commission was adhering to that duty of ensuring just and reasonable rates in this case. And the Commission just merely asks that this Court uphold the Commission's order as well as the lower court's ruling that recognizes the Commission's exclusive jurisdiction with regard to whether the costs underlying the rate and the rate itself is just and reasonable. And with that, I believe I'm finished unless there are any additional questions.
Justice Pickering?
I don't know. Thank you, Justice Seda.
No. I apologize. I do have a few more, about a minute and a half. I would like to add, it wasn't raised by the appellant, but in the briefs there was a statement that the surcharge rate would actually not increase as a result of allowing all of the proposed costs in this case. And just to address that, first, that's kind of a speculative statement. It's based on the testimony of staff that they didn't believe that rate would increase. However, the Commission didn't ever approve an alternative rate under a scenario in which those costs were approved. So it might not have been the case. However, even if it didn't affect the initial rate, it would in the future, because the reason for that rate not being affected is that there are currently significant reserves in the program. So additional costs would draw down those reserves faster and then results in the rate increasing sooner than it otherwise would.
It would or it could, and of course that would still be subject to budgetary review every time the legislature meets. So we could be cognizant of that concern well in advance of any time that it actually occurred, correct?
Correct, and you're correct, Your Honor. So with that, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Anderson.
I appreciate the brief opportunity to clarify just a few issues. First of all, with the budget that was proposed, initially there was an invitation from the PUC. There appeared from a higher rate that had been set before to maybe put in some additional services that would enhance the community. My client tried to come up with things of a limited value. Those were objected to, and so those were removed in the budget that was approved from the PUC. So the budget that went forward is not substantially different than what has been provided in years past. The same type of services. There were no new enhancements or increasements in this particular budget. I would note that, yes, some of the services provided by the center are intended for children. They are also recipients of services for the centers. And they are the future consumers of the equipment. They may not be using equipment now, but that is part of the outreach of the centers. So you may have gingerbread making or something along those lines to have that outreach to children as well as adults who receive services for the center. I wanted to note that The district court judge also looked at the caption for the statute. I have not seen any case law that says what LCB decides to call the above the statute would define everything within the statutory framework. I would ask that if you look at it in terms of the whole chapter of 427A, it actually reaches into all the services that are provided to the community with disabilities. And finally, the testimony and the point I was trying to make in my brief is that the 3-cent surcharge did not change despite the fact that they were made a determination that we could no longer fund the services that they believe related to advocacy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This case will stand submitted. Thank you to both parties. And we will allow a brief moment for the tables to be reset with our